Cindy, I think Connolly's scheme on the international economics is just right. It's amusing to me. I told it about yesterday. I thought Connolly would be the problem, and in fact, Schultz is more of a problem than Connolly. Because he's an economist. I mean, he'll do what you decide. But Connolly, really, once he understood the political issues, he's been perfect.
About having him over here at 12 noon,
aren't you
also?
We'll be made at 10 actually. So for 12 noon is fine.
How do you want to do it? Have
Alden just call him? Well, why don't I call him? Why don't I call him?
Why don't you call him and say, well, and it's true, I'm tied up with the governor sergeant and the governor of Mississippi, and that means that he's
Because we can
easier in Bush,
because we can handle it without anything being on record.
I don't know. See, he's free tomorrow at 12. I want to read up on it.
Good.
You'll be down there and say that if you want to send a paper.
Well, no, there's nothing. He's got no paper. That's all right. I just say you're not free and you don't want to handle it on the telephone.
I'd rather not do it on the telephone. I don't want to think about it. I want to be free to think about it. We're not in trouble now.
Right. I think that's the right way to do it.
I'm talking about it. Okay, you got a minute?
I just wanted to raise with you what I want to discuss with the Chinese.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well,
I want to give them our analysis of the situation along the line of what you thought so done, Con. Secondly, that we will not be able to go all the way with their resolution, but we will urge a resolution condemning military aggression.
Right.
And that you have one, as I've already told you in line, that we'll cut off economic aid if there is an all-out aggression by India.
Right.
And our bear state will take violent exception of this.
So
in
your own? Yeah. So they want to do nothing but ground. What ground do they not cut economic aid?
That it won't do any good.
So what do we do? Just think the aggressors to hell with it. I told her that when she was here.
I think we have to do it.
I thought she was not going to shoot bombs.
I think we've got to do it, Mr. President. Not because it will do any good in this case, but because it will be a warning to them. And it may do some good if we do it early enough. If they're fully committed, it's too late.
How can we cut it off? We can just cut it off. Exactly, we have cut off that second to the rest.
I don't see why, when they were not the aggressors. No, if we're going to cut those off, then we shouldn't cut either off.
Well, if I would put it, I would comprehend to this extent of saying if there's a clear case of aggression.
Yeah.
We, of course, have to make that case, but if it's really economic decision, they can control that, and I'm going to keep that track.
Okay.
How does that sound to you?
Absolutely.
Because I told you, there's no secret about that. Bill told us it's not that. I told her that, didn't I?
Right.
Or did I? I don't know.
No, you've told that we would not understand it, but I've told the ambassador on your behalf on one or two occasions.
All right. What else do you want to tell us?
I want to tell them to cool their rhetoric in New York. And I've just found one article they made while Van Mondong was there, which they mentioned you, and I want to tell them very sharply that they're inadmissible. people, and I think that's true of the Indians too. If the Indians get away with this in the face of all of our warnings, their disdain for us will be total.
So what do you say exactly? They do not?
In effect, yeah.
Well, I hope that before I leave with Rogers tomorrow,
well, there'll be another WebEx meeting which I can then inform you of.
Well, the point is, try to push it a little in that direction. After all, I am told that I'm colder than
well, let's see what the Indians are. Chinese. But we have to make a demonstration that we will do something for our friends. Or the Chinese will feel that we are just too weak a reed even to consider to deal with. And this happens to be almost the only issue in which we agree with the Chinese. We don't have to go into the extremes of condemnation with them. I would be a little softer than they.
On that I keep a little distance there. You're right. What is it? Just the states just go in and out.
They destroy Indian and
Christ, why and how this late day? And what have they done to us?
Well, Roger says, well, he'll tell you himself that he dislikes the Indians, but there's nothing effective we can do. But then they never think that there's anything effective we can do anyway.
So, they
don't even want to cut the military assistance that we're giving them.
They cut it to Pakistan.
Yeah, they said it isn't effective, but they sure as hell were willing to cut it to Pakistan.
That's who our passport. Okay. Well,
those are all the things. So you said you had a...
I find things that we ought to reevaluate the Black American thing.
I strongly feel that, Mr.
President. I think the whole of them I discussed it, and I just sent my bell down there.
My fear, Mr. President, is, first of all, the impression of gallivanting when you've got all these meetings.
Now, I don't think that these, the French,
no,
German, that will be that, because they're so short.
Well, and it fits perfectly into the summit. And they make a great deal of sense.
I think also that on the Japanese, and I don't think it's better to try Australia, I think that's too dumb, I think we ought to say to Sato, come to San Clemente.
Absolutely.
Just let him come. You don't want to come to San Clemente, you won't?
He'll come to San Clemente, I'll guarantee it.
That's a special deal.
Right.
He's like old Marco, he's a smart way.
Right.
Fair enough. Not a lot, but right, Sam?
I agree. And I ought to go over in January and say, at least practically promise them, because it's symbolically helpful to them, and after what the Chinese did in having Van Van Dong there, they kind of let you out go and having a consultation with Sato, and it would help Sato at home.
The Chinese are playing a hard game, so are we. They're still going to go forward over their meetings. But we've got, the thing we have going is what we lost in San Francisco, number one, the Russians have got to have it because of Chinese.
Oh, there's no problem about the meeting.
That's what I mean.
We send a message. That's right, that's right. Every time in Peking, well, you'll read it yourself when you read the transcripts, every time the show and lie stepped out of line, I'd let him have it. And I'd ease off again, but,
So you tell them that I am tied up with these governors, these two or three governors have come in.
Mr. President, I think you made the wise decision on both of these. My major concern about the Latin American trip is to take 6 days. Physically exhausting, but nothing good can come out of it. I don't see, if I try to...
Nobody is asking about it.
But what could... you'd have to listen to all these characters.
Yeah. They're a bunch of lots.
And you've got guys like Aliete and Velasco and all these.
Figueres,
all of them are grandstanding at your expense. I wouldn't run the risk. Let Bill hold a meeting of foreign ministers up here if you want.
Up here in an hour, 10 minutes.
Well, I'd speak to it. I would not make myself responsible for what comes out of the goddamn meeting, because there's a good chance that nothing comes out of it. I think you can give a major speech to it if you want to.
Okay, good.
Right.
I'll report to you tomorrow. Green with Rogers will get together 12 minutes tomorrow.
Oh, they sent me a copy of this.
And there we go. This is a letter to you from Henry Anatole Grunewald, who says, as you know, one of the more durable traditions of Time magazine is the annual Best Looking Man of the Year. Our choice for 1971 is Richard Nixon.
What's that, Roger?
That's it. But you let Bill know it. Let me. See, he's got a dinner for 9 o'clock anyway, so. Thank you. Well, maybe it is a good thing to get it. I'm not quite as high on that sort of thing as you are. I guess you're right.
It'll have an effect.
Huh? It'll have an effect.
Tell it to make Johnson Man of the Year twice or three times.
No, I believe so.
Much fun to go.
Man of the Year, Kennedy. How many times did they make him Man of the Year?
I think each other only once. We got into this once before.
Okay. Reason I ask, I was trying to test, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him to see whether Ron caught this color and everything of that little bit of the thing, or he just saw it and went out and saw the rest.
Did he or did?
Yes, he did. Now, I couldn't, he was breathing when he caught it, so I didn't get it. I know that we got a conscientious watch on that, Bob, because if he doesn't, then you just got it. I should have thought of this myself. I should have had it more.
Well, I thought about that. I said, Razor's too late. I just wondered if I was going to ask you one just like go out with you. But,
it isn't all that big, but I just said, I'm just thinking in the future. To be sure we do not treat such events, you saw the media, such events are not set on for the sake of how I left at 1:15 and got back at 3 o'clock. There were 40 football players and I spoke for 20 minutes and I watched you and I shook hands with everybody and had pictures and what I said, that isn't it, you know, but he knows all. It's a very colorful thing, and you can't think about it.
He says that black guy is from the star and he thinks that he realizes also. And so he was going to look into that. But you had Stark Patterson anyway, and that guy's apparently very strongly pro-Nixon. This is the guy, the black guy. Ron said he's one of our best friends over there.
Is he works here?
No, apparently he covers sports, but he also, I guess he, Ron knew him, so he said, right?
Yeah,
so Ron knew him. And we got
like that, I gave him some time later.
So you gave him some time to observe, but he was there covering and got all the, you know, the arrival stuff and the meeting of players and the offensive lineman business and all that, which the other press didn't get. Because he was there before the others arrived. So. And they did get the whole thing on tape. And Ron felt that there was a lot he could use out of it. Out over there.
But Ron realized
that if it really is a magazine article or a feature,
yeah, or yeah. He really, but he did get the point that it was based on very warm. You know,
make sure. No, he had, like, he got Neil to ride away with the wire people that discovered the color on them when you came on the field and the fact that you came, you know, you just walked out unannounced. Coach spotted you, he was out in the middle of the field somewhere, spotted you, you were coming, but the players spotted you first and were shouting and greeting.
He said,
here we go, now we go. They waving their arm, you know, kind of.
Well, that could have no. I did Ron ask me about telling the press that trying to test him this time and say, well, he might go tomorrow and then he might go through. I said, don't test him. I said, just tell him, you just don't know. I can't tell you. I think that we're too kind to the thoughts.
Okay.
I just don't believe you need to say you've got to have your VIP. He might go call us for your confidential information just every goddamn time. Then if I don't, will they say anything in my plans? I'm just going to say that, and when I decide I'm going to go, I'll decide tomorrow.
Don't you think so?
Yeah, I think we're coming back the same thing. I can say, look, your guidance, all your coefficients are there. Go tell me coefficients.
Everyone? Absolutely right. That,
you know, there have been other times, like in Florida in particular, the weather turns back. I may determine to come back in 1 hour.
Or something comes up here, you just
want to, I don't want to look like a capital case.
Or you're sitting down there and you just kind of get, there's a couple times you've been down there, you got bored, there was something that was bugging you and you want to get out up here,
right?
And we left. And you just said, we'll go back to two.
Yeah,
we've done it.
Yeah.
I think you should always have, and you should allow people to do that, so that I never, never feel that I have to go at a certain time or come back at a certain time. I think we ought to, tomorrow, give them as much notice as we can. Because it's a line over this that we have a chance to get home. If we try to get it, we'll try to get the gold on the damn Senate's going to drop. But we ought to know by noon, 1 o'clock, if I must leave over the way in there. But he's on it on anyway, depends on the Senate and the other business here. So when you suppose the Senate stays until 9 or 10 tomorrow, that's too late. I mean, getting up pretty kind of early in the morning, because I gotta get out there to see that game. No, it'll be better than mine. What time is the game? Well, it's 2:30 Eastern time, so the 11:30 is about 4 p.m. there. Well, the 2:30 Eastern, you gotta figure 5-6 hours, you have to leave, or you have to leave 8:30 in the morning, 8 o'clock. Oh, that's right. Oh, sure, no problem. Maybe we just wait for the next line.
I was switching the time in a way.
Because you gained them.
That's right. That's right. I'm sure you'd be out there in time to hear it.
It's 2:30 here.
Monday to Monday.
You have to leave. You leave 6 hours earlier. It'd be 8:30 in the morning. It'd be plenty of time.
Yeah.
I just can't miss that game.
Yeah.
Stalker's lot.
Check it out. Well, you got all on the barrels?
Yes, sir.
What we can do is 11 o'clock, your 11 o'clock for you, if we get from the Senate, just as soon as, I don't want to keep money, but as soon as we know the Senate is going to return, if we know the Senate is going to be down in 3, then we'll say, oh, you can plan to go with 5. But if it appears that the Senate is hung up and it's going to be in until 8 or 9 o'clock, I may decide to go the next morning. So what we'll say, at 11, we know you'll come. Then at 3, at 4 in the afternoon, we'll check again. And the damn Senate is, looks like they're going to be starting, and we should plan and stay close. Looks like they're going to do it. Not plan to go at all.
Yeah, I did, no problem. I said, because the uncertainty in Senate, I said this morning, this afternoon, and I said, I raised briefly with the President this afternoon, and he said, with the Senate, in the uncertain condition they are, he said, I just don't know, Ron. But they have the point. They really, they're arguing amongst themselves.
About
10 guys have come up to me, and I really hit them today. And Carol Kilpatrick and Mario Dobbins came up, a lot of them, and said, you were absolutely right this morning.
What was that? What did you get them out
of? Well, I said, you know, we have been, in this administration over the last 3 years, we have given you guidance as to what we expect or what we think the president may do. I said,
well, one of them came in with kind of a crappy remark about Ron. Well, you know, what about our families? We have to plan.
Yeah,
you know,
we're not
doing or something. So Ron
was
exactly.
And I said, we have given you indications as to what the president may do over the weekend, contrary to previous administrations, which they
you know, Johnson never told them about damn thing.
And I said,
Kennedy was always.
I said, but these stories are starting to come up as the president extended this trip. Or he didn't extend his trip, or he changed his plans, and I said, this information is based upon guidance. I said, when the president tells me he's going to do something or makes a decision, then we have always announced it. But we're just going to tighten up on that a little bit, I said, fellows. And
it violated the guidance. What they've been given as guidance for, like I last week when they said, well, they might come back Sunday, they printed it as God that I planned to come back Sunday, it changed my mind.
We have
Ron did too, because he knew Laura was coming in, you know, I told you we might be in the hurricane thing, yeah.
We have pretty well aware. These things have worked out.
They came up after you said you were right.
Well, some of them came up and particularly took up the issue, because I didn't even flinch on the thing about the families. They came up and said, you're absolutely right. Look, if they don't want to be assigned to the White House, they should ask for another assignment. I said, the President of the United States has responsibilities here, and he is going to work with those responsibilities, and when the time comes where he feels he can decide, he'll do it.
So, it's going to be much more uncertain now, because if I have to decide in California, and I want to come back Sunday morning, I may well go. But I don't want to break that I came back hurriedly because of the international crisis.
Well, we do.
Or that you didn't. That's the other thing.
Well, we.
Like this last time they said, is there an international crisis? And we said, no, we shouldn't be in that position. Next time there may be one. And we don't want to lie and say no, but we sure as hell aren't going to say no.
We have them pretty well washed. They won't write that now. That's what I spent. That's why we're going to have hard this morning. That's all past. I think we should always maintain the flexibility. We will do
that.
Where
the political year and everything coming up, I'm just not going to be anything. Otherwise, we'll tell them not. We'll just do what Johnson. And that'll be bad for them. They think this is right.
Of course, I agree with all of this 100%. I think, however, we can work it to our advantage, and there comes to a point, and understanding you decide when you decide, but there comes to a point where we could really to our disadvantage and for no reason get a bad, not on a family thing, but just get the bad environment moving around the press.
Well, right, as soon as we know we are, there's something we should tell.
That's right.
shouldn't get ourselves locked. Schultz wants to see you for a couple minutes.
As a former football player, that was great out there today.
I think they might have.
Well, that black fellow told me, he's a good supporter here. I met him up in, No, the black fellow did.
Yeah.
No. But I met him up at the tennis tournament. And he is, I had a good talk with him, and he is a supporter 100% of the press. The whole thing regarding sports, that's why I was in.
But he is a sports writer?
Yes, for the Star.
What's his name?
Well, I should know it. It starts with a B, and I can't pronounce it. It's a long, complicated name. I'll get it for you, because, you know,
I agree. Thank you. Bob was saying that you could call him and get,
no question about it.
He could take the whole way. He was there the whole time.
Bob said he was there when you got there.
Yeah, he was there with your eyes. That's how he's covering. But he had a lot of coming alive before he
I'm going to have him come in tomorrow. I've already talked to him.
He could write a Sports Illustrated story and make himself $1,000. So he'd make $500,000. Exclusive. If he's allowed to freelance.
If he's allowed to freelance, if not, we get someone else to do it. Maybe we'd submit later.
We've
got
the transcript.
But we've got the
because he's already tried to do that sports story.
And then it'll have a conference room that's set up like a cafeteria.
Good.
And and he tears it in for conferences. Incidentally, that is the place that you might use the old cabin. I was thinking about that. It's just a good idea to put it there. But yeah, it doesn't be so much for foreign visitors to see it.
Yep.
And then there's a small lounge, a small conference room lounge type thing, and both of those have projection facilities so they can do slides and movies and that kind of thing.
What is that? Is that a bomb shelter in the building on the other side?
No, it's just that storage and the kitchen. And what I mean down below, that's the storage facility, the delivery rooms and all that sort of thing. So it looks like a fine job.
Store already. But there's several other new built cabins I noticed.
Yeah, over here, I mean.
That's purpose of that.
Well, it's a new one they're replacing. See, they have to read those cabins are all really shot to hell. They've ended up so nobody can tell.
George, I just wanted to be sure with Bob that you got Peterson turned off on that trip. He cannot go to Europe. As a matter of fact, I want it clearly understood. Nobody is going to travel any place next year. No White House staff members and no cabinet people at all. We've got to keep them from gallivanting around the world. All they do is to get in trouble and have to report when they come back. But this one is I thought it was the wrong trip at the wrong place at the wrong time with the other things we have coming up. I know you were surprised about that chance, and I was thinking I did. Well, you know, the thing that got me was that I had told him all along we were not going to have people travel abroad and get these things. And having that Houston's going to take this trip, he was cutting it out. I told Tom, I said, now what's your name, John? I said, I told him to you, George, and then bring Arthur and bring him in because he's gone over. And God, that's Peterson. And John sort of looked at me and I said, just not true. He's not going. So we carried him. Just one of those misunderstandings. I said, still,
there's some things that he isn't very smart about. I don't know.
With you, the idea to George, if he could go over and say, well, you just go over and listen, I said, Henry, listen, you think for Christ's sake that we're going to have to do some economic advice or international affairs coming to listen? I don't hear what he says. He's European or smart. But he'll be fine. He'll listen there all the time.
Well, he isn't a listener. That's one of his problems.
Because
observe when somebody comes in that you're trying to get some information from. He talks and you have to file drawing. After all, you get somebody in, you want information, you want to get them. I wanted to see you about the Council of Economic Advisors. You asked me to follow up on that.
Let me say, as a before we see
talked with John about it a couple of times. I also touched base with earlier. just talked about you, how you would just like nothing better than having him in the administration.
Did you do it?
And he was, he was very pleased, very glad, and he said, well, it just wouldn't be helpful. I can be more helpful to the president outside the administration than inside. And he said, believe me, I'll
he was probably pleased to get out of the way. He's the kind of guy that he's pleased about the meeting.
Yeah, it didn't come up, but I
know. Oh, God, he was a violent.
So. Yeah.
Hello. I'm John. Let me sign that to be sure that I know. We meet tomorrow at 10, I understand. I have the Schultz and Ehrlichman, that's on.